Morning, everyone. I'd like to take our exhortation this morning from Jesus' words to his disciples regarding parables and a few of the parables that he shares with them on the occasion that we read about in Matthew 13. The discussion comes after Jesus has given the parable of the sower to the large crowds that had gathered at the Sea of Galilee. And we'll start by going to Matthew 13 and just rereading a short section of that chapter, starting at verse 10. Matthew 13, verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. So Jesus' answer to his disciples' question regarding his use of parables seems to have two discrete parts. First of all, Jesus says he uses parables to teach the people because it is given unto his disciples to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but not to the crowd listening. And to this he adds, Whosoever hath, more shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that he hath. And at the first reading of this answer, it seems a little strange. Why would the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven be hidden from the people his son was preaching to? And one explanation we have of this is that faith is a requirement for belief and life as a believer, and that without faith it is impossible, as we know, to, no matter the level of knowledge or understanding, to please God. And Christ also makes this clear in every interaction he has with potential believers, especially a notable case is when he speaks with the upright rich man who wants to know how to obtain a place in the kingdom. As an answer to this question, the man is told he must sell all and give to the poor, proving his faith in God's existence and power. Similarly, in answering their Lord's call of follow me, all of his 12 disciples displayed their faith that Christ was sent by God and that he would be able to provide for their needs. They made this answer out of personal conviction and without worry for the opinions of their peers or their friends. And our Lord requires this from each one of us as well, as he did from the people gathered at the lake and the 12 disciples. Faith to all of us requires inquiry, understanding, and belief, and is therefore not blind. The disciples required faith in order for the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven to be revealed to them. And these mysteries are spoken of in a number of times elsewhere, and we'll look at one of those cases in 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 6 to 9. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them who love him. And this really brings us to an explanation of what the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are, and the wisdom of God. If the mystery would have kept the rulers of Jerusalem from crucifying Jesus, the mystery must simply be that Christ is the Messiah, and that he would provide reconciliation to God. The mystery is also explained this way in Romans 16, Colossians 1, Ephesians 1, and we'll just have a look at Ephesians 1 for one of these explanations. Ephesians 1 and verse 6. Verses 6 to 12. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us all in wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. So in moving back to Matthew 13, we come to the phrase, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath, in verse 12. And in Matthew 25, in verses 14 to 30, Jesus goes on to explain this saying in the parable of the talents. And if we look at this saying in the context of the parable of the talents, it's fairly evident that the talents can't represent material things, as I think we'd all agree. In fact, an interesting way to look at the parable of the talents is that rather than the talents representing unique abilities, that perhaps rather they represent a measure of faith. And being monetary currency, the talents given to the three men in the parable do not differ in any physical quality. They only differ in their relative amounts. One man receives five, one two, and the other one. And with this in mind, it's evident in Scripture that we all have differing amounts of faith, or have a perception of differing amounts of faith. An example of this that comes to mind is in the case of Thomas, who needed to see the holes in the body of Jesus to believe in the resurrection. In contrast, the faith of Abraham, in the words of Hebrews 11 and verse 8, allowed him, when he was called, to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, to obey, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Although this is the case, Christ makes it clear in his gospel that it is not the initial amount of faith we have that matters, but the fact that it grows. And one of the parables later in Matthew 13 also deals with this, but to start off, we'll just go to Matthew 17 for a moment. Matthew 17 and at verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Sorry. And just popping back over to Matthew 13, we have another mustard seed parable. Matthew 13 and at verse 31. In another parable he put forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and he sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And from these two passages, we are presented with some information about the mustard seed and the plant that it produces in relation to our faith. First of all, though it's the least of the seeds, it grows to produce a tree. Second of all, and in relation to our faith, though our level of faith may equate to the least of the seeds, if we allow it to work in us and grow, it can allow us to know and to act in accordance with God's will. The servants in the parable of the talents that increased their faith obtained this report on their master's return. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And the faithful men and women of the Old Testament also obtained a similar good report as a result of their growth in faith through their lives. And as we're familiar with, I'll just read the first two verses of Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And thus by it we can hope to obtain a good report. So then, what about this man who buried his faith and the fact that it was added to the man with the most faith in the parable of the talents? And why did it not just perish with him? A possible explanation for this is that our measure of faith, like our breath, is bestowed on us by God, and therefore it is his to do what he pleases with, and perhaps like his word, he will not have it return unto him void, as in Isaiah 55. I'd like just to go to Isaiah 55 for a moment and look at verses 8 through 13. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of a thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So the fact that the one talent is added to the servant with the most talents may simply then be because he has shown the largest absolute growth in faith of the three. However, the reason the unused talent was given to the servant with the most talents and not to the servant with the second most talents may be completely irrelevant. The more important point of the parable may be first, that God does not let his bestowed gifts of life, faith, and his word return unto him void, or without furthering his purpose. And the second, that those who grow in their faith will be blessed abundantly with greater faith and an opportunity to serve him in his kingdom. This also fits with the general summarizing statement included in Matthew 13. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. So focusing back on the conversation between Jesus and his disciples about the use of parables, we'll move to the second part of Jesus' answer. That starts at Matthew 13 and verse 14. Verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, that I should heal them. And by quoting this prophecy in Isaiah, Jesus not only displays that it is fulfilled, but to those who looked in the passage in Isaiah would have also found that only the first part of the prophecy had been fulfilled, and likely the second part would shortly be fulfilled as well. And we'll just go to Isaiah 6 and read the rest of it. And I'll just read it from the New English Translation. Starting at verse 9, he said, go and tell these people, listen continually, but don't understand. Look continually, but don't perceive. Make the hearts of these people calloused, and make their ears deaf and their eyes blind. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Their hearts might understand, and they might repent and be healed. I replied, how long, sovereign master, he said, until cities are in ruins and unpopulated, until houses are uninhabited and the land is ruined and devastated, and the Lord has sent off the people to a distant place, and the very heart of the land is completely abandoned. Even if only a tenth of the people remain in the land, it will again be destroyed. Like one of the large sacred trees or an asher pole, when a sacred pillar on a high place is thrown down. The sacred pillar symbolizes that special chosen family. So in effect, Christ was not only fulfilling the prophecy, but he may have been warning the listener of the forthcoming destruction of Jerusalem as well. And later in Matthew 25, when Jesus gives the parable of the talents, I can't help but think it was meant to send our minds back to Matthew 13, as these are the only two occurrences of the whosoever hath to him shall be given phrase. And in the context of Matthew 25, the parable of the talents is one of the last three parables that Jesus delivers, and all three of which are about the kingdom of heaven, and is shortly followed by his betrayal and his crucifixion. And for this reason alone, the connection with Matthew 13 seems fitting, because at that point, he delivers on one occasion the most parables about the kingdom of heaven than on any other occasion. And I'd like to look at two of of these parables in Matthew 13 that connect with the parables of the talents in Matthew 25. And these are the treasure and the pearl parables that we read this morning. And those occur in Matthew 13, starting at verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, in which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it. So the parable of the talents in Matthew 25 can be seen as using material terms to discuss faith as a sort of spiritual currency. As these two parables also use the material to explain the spiritual, similarly, the parable of the goats and the sheep and of the virgins in chapter 25 also link to other parables in chapter 13. And the message of the parable of the talents to me is this: don't bury your faith, but let it and make sure it grows. And linking back to these two parables in Matthew 13, they elaborate on how precious the kingdom of heaven is, and that like the mustard seed, it is not the amount of faith we have been given that can stop us from attaining that field or that pearl, but only our willingness to use this faith and invest our faith in the greatest treasure of all, the heavenly Jerusalem. And we're here this morning to consider a great example of this, the greatest example of this, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we all know, he did not bury his faith, and the grave could not hold him because of this, a hope in which we can all now share. I'd just like to finish in our readings from the Psalms, where we find one further explanation of the comfort afforded the faithful who have the eyes that see and the ears that hear. Psalm 25. Starting at verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Thank you.